Testing. Hello, hello, hello. Is this on? Hello, hello, hello. Wow. Hello, everybody. Wow. Welcome. Welcome. Today. It's been a long time. Nine. Man. Wow. Wow. So, all right. So, guys, go. Wow. So, I think it's been a solid a week, maybe a week and a half. So we were a little bit late. I totally apologize. This is 100% my fault. But, well, not actually my fault, but my beautiful, amazing, talented, unbelievable Margie was sick last week or so. Thankfully, it wasn't COVID. She just had the shits. But nonetheless, her anus is okay and we're all fine. So it's, we're back. She does not have COVID. She got tested for that. I think she got tested for a lot of, your normal, you know, herpes, hepatitis, strep, HIV, your standard podcast screening. But anyways, she got all her tests done. She's clean, tested negative, drug and disease free as usual. But we got to do a podcast. So I'm not going to lie, man, it was a great podcast. I loved today's podcast. We had on our show today, we had one of my old friends. Her name is Carrie Wasley. She is beautiful, extremely funny, very entertaining. My God, I could talk to her. You know what? I used to talk to her for so long before, way before the podcast, decades ago. We would have coffee talk, just like on that, you know, on this SNL, no big whoop. We just have coffee talk. We have coffee in the morning and no big deal, whatever. We would have coffee talk for, I would say just about every day we lived together. She ended up marrying my roommate, that bitch. And that kind of ruined all the fun. But nonetheless, Carrie's amazing. She is a really, really, really funny girl. And she also is a new mom. She just had a beautiful baby girl, 4 months old, who is unbelievable. But it was wonderful trying to like catch up and like reconnect to all the things that I remember at that time. So anyways, this podcast, it's a long one. I'm not going to lie. We are a yapping, and most of it is with Carrie. We talk about a lot of our past, a lot of our shenanigans, and then how we can't do those shenanigans now. We talk about motherhood. We talk about parenting a daughter. And then because I hadn't connected with Margaret in a long time, I wanted to have a little, just sort of a post interview with Margaret. So Margaret and I chatted for, I guess, maybe an hour afterwards, and it's all very, very valid and good and important information. But Margaret and I talked about, and one of the things we talked about with Carrie was, you know, we all have daughters, we have baby girls, and I think this is super important. If there's any of my podcast listeners that are parents of females, please listen to this, because we do talk about all the, basically the bullshit that comes with raising a daughter and all the different sort of treatments and the different little nuances of having a baby girl versus a baby boy. You just sort of see all of them, and you don't really notice them unless you're a parent of a daughter. And they're like, oh, well, she's just kind of bossy, or she's just this and that. And they have all these things that describe women in a certain way, but they would never describe the boys in their daycare classes. And it's like, oh, he's just determined. It's just the vernacular is just different. So it's really important to listen to this, I think, even though it's long and emotional. But anyways, so I'm apologizing for being off the air for a couple of weeks or a week or so, but I promise this is a good podcast. This is great. You're going to love it. It's long. If not, tell me to go fuck myself. All of that's also okay, but it's really good. Anyways, enough of me yapping, because this is a long fucking show. Listen, turn up the volume, tune in, and enjoy the fucking show. Bye. All All right. Okay. So wait. All right. Hello. Testing. Everybody is here. Let's get a voice. Let's get a little check going. Checkity check.
Riggity check. Rick.
Yes. Margaret, you there?
check. 1, 2. Mic check. 1, 2.
Carrie.
Test. Testicles. 1, 2.
So Carrie, oh my God, it's been like at least a year. How have you been?
I know. I've been busy.
Have you? You look amazing without
Thank
makeup.
Thank you. My melasma looks great.
So we're all in this COVID thing together. Like we're all struggling through. Margaret's going to be eaten alive by her dog probably. But we are all... Well,
mine just came in here.
Oh, it's a big puppy.
They just busted the door down.
They don't... Dogs don't understand boundaries. They really don't understand boundaries.
Everybody. No, they don't.
They really don't. So
they're kind of like men, and he doesn't understand boundaries.
We just start grabbing and touching, whatever.
Bubble.
Oh, is that not cool? Is that not we're okay with that? I thought we were all in the mood just because I was thinking about some porn I saw 3 weeks ago. So, all right. Let's not get off the rails. Okay. So yes, I have a legitimate setup. And I also, like Carrie, I've also lost my office to my spouse. Anyways, all right. So guys, hello. All right. Everybody, focus. So we missed out on a week because Margaret and her son had a little scare with they thought they got COVID, but it turned out to be a food poisoning bug or something similar. But nonetheless, everybody's okay. But
yikes!
Yes. So all right. So
I was okay with it because I lost like 6 pounds.
Well, if only I could be so lucky.
Nothing like a little food poisoning. All right, so on the phone. All right, so as always, you know, we have our friend Margaret with us, and I don't even know how to introduce you, Carrie. We have such a history. So Margaret, believe it or not, don't get your feelings hurt, but Carrie and I actually go back farther than you and I. Like Carrie is like OG gangster level.
Damn.
She's like straight up Gucci Bowl, right? A gangster.
The Gucci Bowl.
So we go pretty. So all right. I don't. So Carrie, how far back do we want to go?
Well, I don't know. I mean, James and I have been married almost 12 years,
and
I
kind of knew you before that. So it's been a while. It's been a hot minute.
No, right. you definitely knew me before that because I kicked you out so I could move in.
You did. All right. So yeah, Margaret. Yeah, I know. Close your mouth. All right. So here's how it went down. Let me see if I can get the timeline back. All right. So on the phone we have my friend Carrie Wasley and of course Margaret. So we're all from San Antonio. We all lived in San Antonio at one point in our time. And Carrie and Margaret, y'all are still in the hood. So the way it worked out is I had a very good friend from college who was who became friends with a coworker named James. And James was your average, everyday, ordinary white guy. He's like your Clark Kent of white guys, right? Like he's very, very standard, non-threatening. You know, even when he drinks, it's still non-threatening. Like he's so white that you could say he's Scottish or Irish. Like he's like that white. Like he's right. Is that a good analogy?
Yeah.
Okay. And so my friend Jalapeno introduced James to was Peña one of your coworkers? Is that how you guys met? So he hooked y'all. He hooked y'all up, right? He's like, James, you've got to meet this girl, Carrie. She's blonde. She's hot. She's cute. And she's funny as hell.
And I think she'll bone you.
Yeah.
But I'm just hoping that you'll just bone her. Like, you know, y'all don't have to have a relationship or anything.
She's that easy. She's that easy going.
Going.
So, and of course, we were all young in our 20s. We didn't know the whole game you guys play. Like, we didn't know about all that. We're like, oh, cool, she likes me. Oh, my God, she's willing to have sex with me. She's the one. She's special. So we didn't.
This is it, Mom.
Yeah, this is it, Mom. So we didn't know about all that stuff. So anyways, so Jalapeno introduced Carrie on the phone out with my friend James, and like I think that was the spark that ignited a generation. And so since then you, Carrie and James have had a your standard bread and butter, like your normal everyday American hot dog and hamburger relationship with all the problems that come around with that and everything else. But nonetheless, you guys were dating for a long time. And then you finally got hitched.
Well, we dated for like 3 years before we got married.
Was it three? It seemed like longer than that. Maybe because
time flies when you're having fun, Lenny.
Time flies. But the way it worked out, Margaret, is like at the time I was actually James's roommate. And he's like, hey, listen, man, this girl's amazing. She's great. She has sex with me. You don't. So pack your shit and get the fuck out. But there was like a hot minute where we were like Three's Company? We were all like living. Yeah. We were all living together. And it was a little strange. It was definitely a lot of fun. That's for sure. And I'm sure James is probably like eavesdropping on the conversation. But like, Carrie and I, we would have our coffee talk in the mornings.
Yeah, exactly. Well, it's a pajama shirt, but it says,
does it say
no coffee, no talkie.
Oh, that's perfect. That is perfect. That is absolutely perfect. So, yeah. So for a long while, I would say we were three roommates. We were three peas in a pod. I was maybe the third wheel. Actually, I don't even know if I was
James was the third wheel.
Yeah, I kind of...
Because we'd like be cooking, and we'd be talking, having coffee, and we'd be having wine, and he'd be off in the living room alone watching sports and yelling at the TV.
Yeah, yelling at the TV and yelling at us.
That smells good. I'm ready for dinner.
Not even. He'd just be over there cursing at the TV.
He would yell at the TV, and then he would yell at us for talking so loud over the TV. And I'm a man's man, but I'm not a humongous sports fan. I'm not gonna like get head over heels over sports games. Like I'm not. It's okay, but it doesn't consume my life. But yeah, for sure. Carrie and I were like the two fucking cackling Bettys in that household. But it was fun. It was a lot of fun. And then Carrie had to fucking ruin it by getting married to James.
No, I was like, oh, I'm moving in, so you gotta get the fuck out.
Yeah. I need the closet
space. I need your closet.
It boiled down to like, Lenny, I need your closet, so if you could just start packing and get the fuck out, I'll help you find an apartment. Get the fuck out.
Yeah. No, I was like, I've been here a month, and it doesn't look like Lenny's moving out anytime soon.
He's not getting the picture.
He's not getting the hint at all. So
yeah,
so
then he finally left.
Yeah, so I left, and then and of course, like we still hung out, and we did all the fun stuff together. Then James and Carrie bought a new house, kind of like in the San Pedro. What was it, McAllister Park area?
Monta Vista.
Yeah, like where the restaurant. Yeah, they got a nice, really, really cool place where you guys really, 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 really like redid it and made it look cool. James is like a Quaker or Amish. What's his heritage? What's his lineage? He's very white. Like, he's so white, he's Amish, right?
Yeah, pretty much. No, he's just really handy and also happens to be from Pennsylvania.
Yeah, and Margaret, he's so Amish that he's like a good woodworker. Like, even better than me. Like, I'm good at, like, yes, like, I'm, like, good at putting fences up and, like, very, like, Mexican-style labor. James is, like, a furniture maker. Like, he. So, anyways, so they redid their house and whatnot, and we still got together. We had our dinner parties and all that fun stuff together, but then I moved away, and unfortunately, that chapter of being young and getting together and all that kind of came to close because Carrie and James decided to have a baby. Like, that was, mm-hmm. Yeah.
That'll happen.
Where did that happen? First of all, how did that happen? Like, what are the chances?
I had to put out.
Yeah.
You know, it's just so much like, cheaper that
way.
When
you moved out, I was already pregnant.
So what's funny is like, I was so delusional in those days. Like, I thought people like, I thought like, especially married couple, like, I thought they had sex all the time. I thought that was like a daily thing. I didn't realize that. Yeah, Carrie's shaking her head. No. Like once a month at best. Ugh. That's when I first heard the ugh sound of like how that works. I was like, what are you talking about? Like, I'm dating my girlfriend. She loves it. She's so happy. I didn't realize.
Just wait.
Oh, it's been 8 years, honey. It was, yeah, come on. So that's when I started learning all the excuses. And so Carrie, I was texting Margaret earlier, and Margaret, I sent Carrie the video that I put together of you at the Bob Schneider concert. So just so you guys could have some little history. But I was chatting with Margaret earlier. And I was like, you know, like, we're probably going to end up talking about, like, how women pretend to either be asleep or all the excuses to get out of having sex. Having a headache, all those things. James, Carrie, why are you quiet?
See if I've missed anything. I'm going to write these down.
Are we on speakerphone or did you get the earphones working? The headset working?
No. Oh, I'm on the headset.
Okay, good. This is why.
Good.
Because James would probably come in here and be like, shh, you're going to wake the baby. And he'd just be like on the other side of the door listening because he so knows.
He's taking his own notes.
Yeah. So anyways, so that's kind of what led us up to here. So I know it's so, all right. So I've been so like, I'm so willy nilly with the we breezed through all the introductions. So Carrie, what do you want to tell us about yourself? So that's my introduction of you, Carrie. What did I miss?
Oh, you missed the story about James flooding the toilet, and yes. We didn't know.
We missed that. There's a lot of stories.
Flooding the master bath.
We'll get to that.
You missed all our cooking.
Yeah, lighting the kitchen on fire.
Cooking.
Lighting the kitchen on fire. Yeah. Oh yeah. drunk James, drunk the drunken spouse.
Oh yeah.
By the way, I have become that person now that I've been happily married.
I feel so bad for Amy.
So I'm good enough to hide it for a while. Like I can maintain for a good good while, and then she finally catches on and she's like, "How drunk are you?" I'm like. Hardly a little bit at all. Like
I only had one beer. You can hardly stand.
Yeah. Yeah. She's like, I've only drank one beer after the two bottles of wine. No. So all those things. So no, but there's a lot more. So Carrie, you were for a long while you were working as a you were doing the personal cook, and then we'll see you at the Fishmonger.
Fishmonger?
What was the place in San Antonio, the Grand Zines? What is the name? You were working for that family. You were like their like personal cook, weren't you?
I don't know which one you're talking about, but yeah, for like 10 years.
You were doing like, yeah, like all the like, but you were doing like the cooking and stuff. So Carrie, yeah. Okay, so Margaret, I know you've seen my YouTube videos, whatever food videos, but Carrie is like on par or better, or probably better than all that. But like, I would run into her like,
yeah, not anymore. I've gotten kind of late during quarantine. Well,
you're a mom, like you're okay. Oh come on, like dude, seriously, like Amy and I were having a conversation just today. It's like I'm getting tired of ordering delivery from the same places. I'm like, let's just go pick something up then. Like, problem solved. We'll find a new place and like, forget delivery. We'll just drive down the block.
Like, we'll pick it up then.
It's so bad that they're already opening up new restaurants that are like close enough for us to go to like walking. Like that's how bad it's gotten. Like, how many different places we've ordered out to. Like it's okay, whatever.
Wow.
Who gives a shit? Anyways, anywho, yeah. So, so we've had, yeah, so, 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 I don't even know, like, of all the stories, I don't even know where to begin with the Carrie and James saga. Like, because it really is like a start. It's like a true epic, like, journey to go through all of that. We can't do it on one podcast. We definitely can't.
No.
No.
So was she the one who showed you how to cook, Lenny?
We both kind of learned together. We definitely learned about coffee.
Yeah, Lenny got me interested.
Yeah.
Ah, okay.
So, oh man, so many stories. What about the time when we ruined, or we, when James's dining table got ruined by some sort of solvent that spilled on it?
Wait, what?
Pass.
I don't even remember that one.
You don't remember that one? James was like, man, what's this? Like, it ruined the finish on my dining table. It was like the sunny, like, it was as I said, the kitchen table. It wasn't even like it was super expensive. It was like that Bassett furniture, but like the finish.
His mom still has that in her breakfast room.
Really? Does it still have the damage from the solvent that got spilled on it?
Was it when I was doing my nails or something?
It was when you were doing your nails and then, like, Andy accidentally spilt the nail polish remover.
The acetone? Oh. And we were like, I don't know. I've never seen and this. It's James weird.
Like, is this from, like, when I clean my gun? I'm like, yeah, it probably is. It definitely looks like a damage from gun oil. It's definitely that.
Mm-hmm. And I looked over at Carrie.
I looked over at Carrie. I'm like, yeah, I wonder, of all the things in this house, of all the things inside of the house, not in the garage, but of all things inside of the house, what kind of chemical would take away a finish, would remove a finish? What kind of remover do we have in the house? Carrie gave me the big shut the fuck up look face. Like, I don't know, Lenny. Why don't you have a coconut smile? Why don't you start packing your closet, Lenny? That's when I had to move out.
It's time for you to leave.
Yeah. So, also, all right.
Was it under warranty? Table under warranty?
Oh, no, not even close.
No, he probably just, like, refinished the whole top or something just for fun.
Because he's Amish. Because he's a Pennsylvania Amish, Dutch Amish. He was able to. Oh, just.
It's all family heirloom.
All right. So one time, like, it must have been like on a Friday after work. Like, I came home, started cooking dinner, opened a wine, bottle of wine, and James and Carrie disappeared for like, I don't know, 8.5 minutes. And then Carrie comes out and she's all talkative and bubbly and like wanting to talk about her day, like talking about work and da da da. And I'm like, yeah, because I'm a talkative person. So I've been away like a bunch of, you know, girls in a knitting circle. And then all of a sudden we hear James yelling, her boyfriend at the time, yelling from the bedroom, the bathroom.
And we're thinking, gosh, it must be like the Cowboys must be doing really bad. Yankees must be like really fucking
out. I don't know. Bad. Yeah, he is mad. Somebody
is mad now.
He is mad. Somebody better go look in and see what he's mad about. I don't even know. Like, it's so weird. And he's yeah, like, and then
he's like, I was yelling for you guys.
What is that noise? Like, I don't even know. Like, and we just went about our business, like talking. And then he comes yelling at us because we weren't paying attention to him, and he was mad at both of us. And he's like, "God damn it, the bathroom, the toilet's over flooding, fucking egg, god damn it, son of a bitch!"
I was yelling for help.
I needed help. I'm like, why
Bring
would
me
you?
All the towels. Why Bring would me all the towels in the house?
I need all of the towels. Why would you yell for us? If I overshit in a toilet, I'm not gonna tell anybody. Like, I'm gonna fix that.
I'll be like, I gotta go.
Yeah. I'm gonna fix it, or else I'm gonna leave your house and delete your contact information and say that I moved to Alaska.
I am
going to Gone Girl my ass so fucking fast. Like, I am not sticking around, and I'm definitely not asking for help. Like, oh god, I need to bring me all of the towels. I shit too much. And so, like,
and then he's like yelling for us to bring Lenny's bathroom towels in there. So, like, all the kitchen towels, the beach towels,
everything.
Like, all of the bathroom towels. And then even his, like, big ass, like, Dallas Cowboys fleece blanket.
And we're like, and at the same time, we're like,
absorbing water.
And we're like, why is he so mad when he overshit the toilet? Like, just get the plunger. Like, what's the problem? And then we realized he didn't own a plunger. So he had to drive to Walmart like at 11 o'clock at night.
It's like at 11 o'clock and he's like, he's all like yelling and he's like,
bent out of shape.
I can't believe you guys wouldn't listen to me. And then he leaves and he's like, neither of you touch anything. And we're all like trying not to laugh at him.
And then Carrie, what caused the toilet to plug up though? What pray heaven, well, pray tell, would have caused
that? Too many wipies?
Nope. What was it, Carrie?
He blames me, but he's the one that goes to the bathroom like 5 times a day.
I thought it was a condom. I thought he flushed a condom down, and that's what caused it to overflow. Was I wrong in that?
Oh
no, you don't. I just think, I don't know.
I don't know.
I thought you guys got done having sex and he flushed a condom down the toilet and that's what caused it. Maybe I'm wrong.
But I don't recall that we had sex, but...
Well, I do, because that's why you guys had disappeared for 8 minutes and you came out all talkative and energized. Like, nothing, like... And I thought it was like, oh, you guys just got done banging and we're going to talk. We're going to exchange, you know, recipes. No?
We're going to exchange recipes. But I don't know. He was blaming it on me. He said it was my poop that plugged the toilet, but it was not.
Oh, well, yeah, no. And poop doesn't clog toilets, by the way. That's a fallacy. It's usually condoms or other things. Anyways, all right. Well, we're not going to get... This is a family podcast, so we're not going to talk about that. So Margaret just recently got done getting over stomach flu. Mari, you want to talk about that?
Oh my gosh. I feel like it was the worst thing ever. Like somebody has a voodoo doll and just like
stabbing your stomach.
In my gut. Yeah, I'm stabbing my stomach and my ass or something.
What's that, Karen?
No, that's true. Exactly.
So at least you didn't have COVID. So, I mean, I don't know if it's good or bad, but.
So, all right. So I talked to Margaret earlier today and like, cause I was just checking out to see how she was doing. So I was telling Margaret, I never got food poisoning until I moved to Houston. And so I never really understood what that was really about. I mean, I knew you just like your stomach hurts, you throw up and whatnot. But like, so Margaret said that y'all went to a lake and then you had like,
yeah, a picnic. We went to the lake. And we had picnic. Food, barbecuing and stuff like that.
Yeah. And so I'm like, all right, that's either like some kind of food poisoning or like some fucking freshwater lake amoeba that's eating you out from the inside. So that's like, that's why I was like scared. I'm like, oh, what the fuck is, you know, what's going on?
Tapeworm.
Yeah. Well, tape shit. You'd be so lucky. You'd lose weight that way. It's the best diet ever. But, I never really understood how painful food poisoning was until about 4 years ago. Emma was an infant. Amy's mom was with us, and I specifically remember exactly what would happen that day. Like, I remember I was at work, and I decided to leave the building to go to lunch. I walked down the stairs. I was grabbing the handrail with my hand, and then I went to a hamburger place, a pretty good hamburger place, and I ate a hamburger, and then that was around noon, and then I got home around 6 o'clock, started cooking dinner, and like halfway through cooking dinner, I told Amy, I said, hey, you need to finish dinner by yourself. I'm going to be sick. Like I'm in bad shape. I don't know what's going on, but it like exactly like 7 hours after lunch, shit just turned on and I was in
literally.
Yes. And I was like, I needed like an exorcist. That's how bad it was. It was miserable. It was so bad that Amy and Emma had to sleep in a different room. Like they're like, we're getting the fuck out of here. Like, you can have this half of the house. Bad. Yes. And I never had food. I was 36, 37. I didn't know what fucking food poisoning was until that happened in Houston. And it must have been, I deduce that it must have been from when I was grabbing the handrail and I didn't wash my hands before I ate, or the person at the burger joint didn't wash his hands. I know I didn't wash my hands, but like from then, I still remember. I'm like, motherfucker, wash your hands. Wash your fucking hands. Mm-hmm. Wash your hands before you eat. Wash your fucking hands. And that was a starch reminder. And I swear to God, it was the most excruciating stomach pain I've ever had. I don't even know.
Yeah.
And anyways, so that being said, I'm very familiar. And it lasted like 24, 36 hours. And then I was fine. So I'm like, I had some fucking major E. coli or Ebola shit going on in my GI.
Yeah. So, well, first it didn't really like start off that way. You know, like we got back from the lake and I felt fine. That was Saturday. Sunday, we both wake up. We're kind of like achy and we're just kind of like, just laying around. And I'm thinking, okay, the heat got to us. So we just kind of laid around Sunday. Monday comes around and I'm like, no, something ain't right. You know, we just kind of, we were like running a fever here and there, but it was a low grade fever. And I'm thinking, oh shit, we got COVID. Right. Like I'm dying. I'm going to, like, this is it.
You start writing your will. I bequeath my weave to my cousin Sonia.
Exactly. I'm starting to write up my will and shit. I'm like, the rescue dog can go back. No, but it was bad. It was bad. I think like I felt a fireball just going through my gut and I was just about to pass out because of the pain. And then I'm kind of like worried, like, shit, am I going to throw up or am I going to shit myself? You know, like, okay, I'm going to jump in the shower just in case they both happen at the same time.
All right. So with the pandemic going on, with this whole plague going on, were you relieved? When did you find out you did not have COVID?
I think it was that Tuesday or Wednesday last week.
Were you relieved or were you more like questionable? Like, what the fuck is it then? Like, are you going to give birth to like some alien or were you relieved?
I was relieved, definitely relieved, right? Because to me, COVID is scary.
Yeah.
So one day I was sitting on the toilet and my son walks in. I mean, you know, there's no privacy ever with kids around.
So just for reference, Carrie just had a baby. She's 4 months old. She's beautiful. But Carrie's.
Aw, congratulations.
But
thank you.
But her name is Emily Page, and she's still immobile. So Carrie's still in the.
So I have privacy.
Yeah, you're in the twilight.
Now, for now.
You're in the twilight.
I'm in the golden age of babies.
God damn it. You know what, right Carrie? Now. God damn it sucks because you know why? Normally, this is when you go out to restaurants. This is when you can, like, go out and eat and drink and pump and dump and like you can do all the fun things because up until about 12 months of age, that baby is immobile and they don't care. They don't want to walk around. They're usually fine. You can cover them like a fucking parrot with a blanket on their little thing and they're good. Yeah. But everything's fucking closed. God damn it sucks.
Yeah.
Fucking.
Oh, that's true.
Timing's right. A fucking bitch.
I know. Dang. Yeah, we're not going to take her anymore and everybody has to wear masks anyways.
Yeah.
You just look like bad parents then.
I don't know.
Out with your infant during
you get those COVID outbreaks.
The COVID outbreak of San Antonio. 652 cases today.
Shush. Was that the number today?
Uh-huh.
Oh, man, that's a record then.
Is it? Man,
because the last record was like 508, I think.
Bitches, we're at 3,000 a day.
And just on Monday, it was like 300 something.
Oh, really?
Per day, new cases per day.
All right, so that's pretty bad. Yeah. So here's what's scary. My biggest fear is like seeing, like, I'm gonna go see my mom next weekend. And so, like, I'm going to do my best to isolate myself as much as possible. But, like, that's where I get afraid. Like, and your infant is one thing. Emma, please. Like, she's got the immune system of fucking Rocky Balboa. Like, she can knock everything down. But, like, you know, going to see an 80-year-old, my 82-year-old mom, like, that's a little bit of a stress. Like, that's where I get nervous. That's where you're like, okay, fucking, are we being responsible or?
Are you still working from home, Lenny?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, we're going to work from... Oh, Carrie, I'm so sorry. Yes.
Oh, our next topic.
What?
So I'm going to be working from home for probably...
2022?
Yeah, a year and a half at least. Oh, so all right. So Margaret and I, we okay. So Carrie, Margaret and I met Margaret at Zachary. We know each other very, very long. I'm surprised that like all three of our paths haven't crossed. Obviously the common denominator is Ramon. So we all
you gotta do the voice.
Yeah. So anyways, but Ramon, I was talking about that shit, man. So Ramon is the common denominator with a lot of people. It's amazing. He's like the Kevin Bacon of all my friends. They're like, I think we partied with Ramon. I'm like, didn't the cops get called? Yeah. It's like, it always revolves around, I think like,
didn't he get arrested that yeah, night?
Like, it's always, man, we had a great time. Wait, I think the cops came. The cops did come. It's
either cops or like nudity.
Yes. Oh my God. The skinny dipping. Oh my God. God damn it. Anyways, James was there one of the times too. Oh fuck. Anyways, I think that was the toga party, the Halloween party.
The toga party.
That's
episode 15.
Yeah, that was yes. We ended up and Carrie, thank God you took James home because he was so like he wanted to go swimming.
He was wearing his Scottish plaid kilt. Toga.
Yeah, his Scottish kilt. I told you he was that white.
It was like we literally went to the fabric store and he picked out plaid fabric because he was like, it's for my Scottish heritage, and I was like, but it's a toga party. And he was so drunk.
But in all defense, in all fairness, you and James were the most coordinated and best dressed at that Halloween party. This is okay, so this is what was fun about being 20. You get to like, hey, we're gonna have a party, and then somebody's like, hey, let's make it a costume party, and it's like fucking March, and we're like, yeah, costume party it is. Like, you can't pull that off like in your 40s.
San Antonio, you know.
Yeah, but you can't pull that off in your 40s. You can't, like, hey guys, we're gonna have a dinner party and we're all gonna be dressed up like Fred Flintstone, so come dress up like a Fred. Like, no, like, you can't do that. It's like that's what you do in your
20s. It's not as hype, right?
Yeah,
it's not. Everybody's already tired at 8.
Yeah. I know. Like, yeah,
yeah.
We showed up at this party like at 9:30 and we were the first ones there. Like now, oh fuck. Yeah. So
it's a lot of work.
It's a toga party and James and Carrie are in their like Scottish kilts. It was plaid, right?
I believe I was wearing like a mint colored thing and James was wearing plaid.
Yeah, he was wearing
but
plaid.
The colors coordinated.
Yes.
He was definitely wearing plaid.
And yes. And we were drinking, having a good time. It was Ramon's birthday party. And then
yes,
it was like, hey, let's go to the pool. It was like 12:30 at night and everybody's really drunk. And you're like, no, James, we're going home. And then James like, no, we're going to the pool. And he was pouting.
There's a picture.
Everybody's pouting. They're like drunk.
He's all pouting. I could find it somewhere.
I was
just, hilarious.
You know what? I was like that Saturday. I went to play golf with my buddy Omar, and I got a little drunk, and then we went to dinner, and then instead of eating dinner, we ordered wine, and then they realized how drunk we were, and they gave us bread. They're like, here, you guys look like you could use, and they're like, don't worry, it's free. It's free. Just eat some bread. I'm like,
please,
yeah.
Please eat it.
I don't want bread.
I don't want bread. Look at this. Fucking carbs. Ugh. And as we're drinking our wine, and then Omar,
you don't know what I need.
And then Omar calls an Uber, and then I go across to another bar, and I walk in. I'm like, yeah. Oh, yeah. And the guy's like, yeah, you look like you could use an old fashioned. And I get like a glass of water. I'm like, oh.
Oh no.
Aw.
You're like toga.
Yeah. I'm like toga. Toga party. Yeah, I got 86. I'm 41, and I got 86 at a bar. That's all right. That's all right. I had to tell the bartender, I'm like, look here, hero. You're not stopping shit. Anyways, so that night we ended up, and it was like an apartment party. And still we're in our 20s. We're young. And we're like, yeah, let's go swimming at fucking 12:30 in the morning. Thank God. Man, I wish I had a Carrie with me at the time. Like, no, look, you're done. Let's go home.
James probably just still doesn't think that that's so great.
It was
probably
great.
Still thinks I ruined his night.
Ah, there was nothing. There was nothing about that night that you ruined. Trust me, I was there the rest of the night.
things got rough after we left.
Yeah. Anyways, so yeah, that's a lot of the fun. Oh, Paul was there. Oh, a lot of people that have been on this podcast were there, except for the ladies. But yeah. Anyways, so yeah, it's crazy times. Wow. So, so Carrie, so let's talk about motherhood, because this show is life-splaining, but if you couldn't tell by the way the logo looks, it really is mansplaining. That's really, like it's a way.
I mean, come on.
Yeah, I mean, come
There's
on.
There's been a lot of mansplaining going on over here lately.
Yeah. So let me ask you, where do you need help parenting, and where can I fill in the gaps?
You?
It got all quiet. where?
Let me just tell you how to do that.
Yeah.
This is how you do that.
So Margaret, I was talking to Carrie on Tuesday, and we're talking about breastfeeding. I'm like, oh, no. Let me explain to you how the breastfeeding works.
This is, and the breast milk, it's just so much more concentrated. I know this. I'm an expert, obviously, in breastfed.
I've been on the receiving end. I know this very well. I know this very, very well.
I just
Oh, my God.
Yeah. Because let me tell you, there's nothing women like better.
Once too many times.
There's nothing that women like better than a strange man telling them about their boobs, like, and their lactation process. Yeah. There's nothing better.
Let me tell you about lactation. I'm an expert.
I got this. That's what I tell Amy. As Amy's like, hey, maybe you shouldn't. I know. Babe. I know. I remember. You woke me up when you were feeding Emma, and I remember when I looked over, I was half awake, and I could see that you had the boob, and like, so I remember everything. So listen, Carrie, this is how it works.
Right.
So here's what's interesting. So here's what's super interesting. It's amazing how, like, I will say this, and you guys, by all means, correct me if I'm wrong. It's amazing how the practice of motherhood, like the intricacies of like breastfeeding, formula, diapers, food, da, 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 it's amazing how much that changes. It changes like fashion. It's like, well, today in style is all vegan and hemp fabrics. It's like, it's amazing because when I grew up, my mom told me, they're like, well, listen, so you were born in the 70s in Mexico and they didn't do natural birth because pregnant women go into labor in the middle of the night. And so all the doctors, they didn't want to be on call in the middle of the night. So they would do C-sections. They wanted everything scheduled. So in the 70s in Mexico, there's a very high percentage that if you were born in the 70s in Mexico, it was done by C-section. Like, the mother would have to make a request, a special request. Say, you know, I want a natural birth. And that was even a big deal because they're like, well, ma'am, clearly you don't know. Let's talk to your husband. Because, again, it's Mexico in the 70s. So, ma'am, clearly you're just hysterical. So, let's talk. Yeah, I know. No, I understand. Yes, you're in pain. Blah 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 blah. Yeah, and let's talk to your husband first, and then you,
ma'am.
Yeah, if we could just, and then we'll talk to him, and then we'll come back to you, and we'll deal with whatever's going on. You're very strong. You're very strong. So, also in the 70s, like, formula was just, it wasn't just, but it was, in the United States, formula was getting popular and popular, but in Mexico, it was just getting popular. And because of that, it was sort of seen as like, that's the in thing to do. That was like, no, you give your babies. And so, and it's amazing because now I think it's all different. Now it seems like there's lactation consultants and there's lactation this and lactation that. And then there's like the milk Nazis that are like, oh, well, you're not lactating enough, so you need a supplement form. Like, it's this big fucking deal. And you have all these people that are focused on your boob and your child. And in the process, for me, being a third party just sitting on the side, I was like, why the fuck are all these strangers telling my wife about her boob and my child? It's like, the baby's not retarded. Like, the baby's smart. And if the baby's
hungry, the baby doesn't care as long as the baby gets fed.
Right. And if the baby's hungry, she knows where the food is. Like, it doesn't take long for, like, you put the nipple in and like, oh, that's food. That makes my tummy feel good. Yes, I want that. Once you do that once, the baby always knows that that's where the food is. If it's the nipple or the bottle, whatever. You don't have to, like, force feed it down the baby. Like, the baby's not going to starve itself to death. Like, I don't think of any of, like, the cases of all those terrible things. I don't think there's ever been a case where a baby just, like, oh, boob. Oh, no, thank you. It's like they're human beings, even though they're like only a week old, they're very capable of knowing that like there's food in front of them, they're gonna eat. So that's my penis telling me what I think is what true is. And I think that is true.
Because clearly you know.
Clearly I know. Am I wrong though? I mean, like, are you really worried? I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong. But that was my observation. Like, there was a lot of people that were in, like, just in that business, that in, like, in the boob, nipple, baby area. And I was like, ah.
Oh, yeah. At the hospital, the lactation consultants kept coming in, and they were, like, kept trying to talk to me. And I was like, I don't want to talk to you. Like, I don't want to pull my nipple out and talk to you about my boobs.
What was the lactation consultant saying to you?
I don't know. They were just like, oh, are you breastfeeding? And I said, no, I tried pumping. Yeah. And that's the problem. I'm stuck with the pump now. I can't, like, you have to wean down because it's not like a baby regulating how much is made. So they were just like, oh, are you having any problems with latching? No, because I'm not trying that. So.
And you're pumping. You're already pumping. So, like, no, you're not having problems lactating because you're already pumping. What about the nurses? Did the nurses give you any pressure, or were they like, yeah, do what you got to do?
They didn't give me any trouble.
They have nurses
that have a specialty of lactation in the hospital, and they come in, and if you want them to come, they have a little lactation center, but they come in and check on you to see how you're going, how everything's going.
Yeah. So we went to a lactation. So Margaret, did they have lactation consultants when you were pregnant? 20 years ago? Yeah.
Yes, they did. I think like a lot of the nurses were all about it. You know, they kind of like, they didn't really educate me on formula. It was all about mother's milk, lactation, and you're going to breastfeed, and this is the best thing to do. And
even the nurses, this is the nurses talking.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Mm-hmm. So I will say 5 years ago when Emma was born, the nurses were like, it doesn't matter where the food comes from, but the baby needs to eat. And if your boob's not working, but the pressure that Amy got was like, it was all about like, oh, that your boob's not making enough milk. Your boob's not making enough milk. And so Amy got the reverse kind of pressure. And I was like, your boob is fine. The baby's fine. Like, she's going to drink the breast milk. It's going to be okay. Like, it's all going to be. There was like maybe 5 days where we had a supplement. And I mean like with like a little tiny syringe to the side of the mouth. But like, it seemed like Amy was getting very heavily judged by the nurses because she wasn't using formula. And I'm like, also none of your business. Like the baby's fine. The baby's growing. Like, yeah, the baby's underweight, but the baby's also three weeks early. So like and it's not like we were ignoring it. It's not like we're like, oh, we skip a feeding or whatever. It's like, no, the baby's hungry. The baby's hungry. The baby puts her face on the boob and eats. And then when it's done, it stops. It's like, well, that's normal. Like, that's how that works. So it was a little questionable because, like, yeah, with the bottle, you get to see how much you're giving the baby. But anyways, but I do remember the lactation consultants. Now, here's what's strange. Coming from somebody with a penis, it was weird because we went to lactation classes. And the lactation consultant, she had really big boobs. And I don't know if that was a coincidence or not.
She was lactating and couldn't dump.
No. So as a guy, we're dumb. Like,
she's like, look.
Yeah. No, like, guys are just dumb like that.
Let
like,
me show you how to do that.
Yeah. Guy, like we're just, I hate to admit it, but like we're very archaic in our thinking. And so like, anyways, so the lactation girl had big boobs. And she also, and even Amy agreed, like she also wore scrubs that were maybe one size too small. Like they could have been a little bit more comfortable. It's not that they were too tight. It's just that it didn't look very comfortable. I'm a bigger fellow. I know when like I have a lot of like tightness around my boobs. Like I don't want to accentuate them or whatever. And anyways, so it was a little distracting, I'm not gonna lie, from my perspective being a male in the lactation classes, that the lactation consultant had big boobs and that her scrubs was too tight. And then
if Margie was a nurse.
And then her coming into the hospital room, like touching Amy's boob, showing them like, yeah, see, this is how they latch, and like all up in Amy's business. I was like, huh. They're just all up in there, aren't they? They're just It's just all there.
My God.
Huh? It's, wow. Yeah. Well, all right. Well, the boob is now food. It's like, all right. It's okay. That's the way it is.
You like had to look the other way.
Yeah.
Like, oh. I'll be out there. I'll be outside.
Like now I know why in the 50s the husbands were in the waiting room with a cigar. That, like, now I know why. That makes so much more sense. Like, there's just a lot of biology. But at the same time, I think I learned a lot, and I think that's what merits me being able to explain to you ladies what it's like. Look at Carrie's face. Very interesting. All right, so Carrie, your daughter's 4 months old, almost five.
She's turned 18 weeks today.
18. So has she done any? Are you doing the tummy time now? Is that? I can't remember if that's tummy time.
Yeah. We've been doing a lot of tummy time. She's been doing tummy time like pretty much since like the first week. They're all about tummy time.
Yeah, I remember. So I remember. All right. So here's my theory, and Amy corrected me on this one, but my theory is because
she's probably correct.
You should probably go with
Amy's theory.
Yeah, absolutely, 100%. But she's not part of the podcast, so I'm going to go with mine right now. So, but Amy, so I thought that Emma was super attached to Amy because of the breastfeeding. In fact, after Carrie and I talked on Tuesday, I was telling Amy, I'm like, yeah, I think, you know, I really do think that's one of the reasons why Emma is super attached to Amy is because, like you guys, you breastfed. And so for like 15 minutes every hour and a half for the first 2 years of her life, she was on your boob. And Amy's like, yeah, I mean, my wife is so rational. God damn it, I fucking hate it. She's very, very rational with her thought process. She's like, yeah, I mean, that's possible. But at the same time, she's like, you know, your nephew Sebastian is super attached to Eddie, and it's not like he was breastfeeding. It's not like your brother was breastfeeding. I'm like, oh, God damn it. Fucking disproving my theory. But nonetheless, I really did. I think that Emma is super attached to Amy because two things. The breastfeeding, and then also, like, Emma and I both know how to push Amy's buttons, and that makes it fun. it kind of makes it fun to kind of push the buttons a little bit, and like get a reaction, and like, what? Why are you so mad? What? Oh my God, you get so bent out of shape so easily. What's the matter with you? You know what? Now I'm mad at you.
Both of y'all.
Yeah.
That would suck. You're like, what the fuck did I do?
Mars, I just want to watch some TV in peace without anybody poking me. My butt or my boob. Just leave me alone.
Or Amy. Or, tuning them out.
Yeah, I know.
Speaking of tuning out kids, I think I've become like so used to, I guess, just being, you know, on my own with my two kids, and like, eventually they're just like, mom, mom, mom. And I'm watching TV and I just get to like tune them out, so, you know? And then my best friend, she has a six-month-old.
You're so good at tuning out your kids. Go on.
my best friend, she has a 6-month-old, and she's texting me and she's like, I can't do this. You know, she's constantly yelling, like trying to get my attention. I said, ignore her. If she's fed, her diaper's changed, if she just woke up from a nap, or if she's tired, ignore her. She's good. You know, she's okay. And she's like, how do you ignore the baby? And I'm like, dude, like, put a TV show on. Or
Tune
it out. She's fine.
So, all right. Well, so Carrie with her 4-month-old isn't quite there yet. However, So Carrie, is she in a crib or in a bassinet?
She sleeps in the crib in her room.
In her room, but she's by herself. Was that hard to break that, or did she do that by herself pretty well? That's a big milestone. That's a huge milestone that you guys were able to do.
Especially at that age, 4 months.
I don't know. She was in her bassinet in her room, and babies are noisy sleepers, so I wasn't sleeping very well. And she was starting to sleep almost through the night. So we just kind of rolled the bassinet. Well, we put her in the crib one night, and she did wake up twice that night. And we were like, whoa, 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 what's this all about? So we just took a softer approach, and we wheeled the bassinet in there next to her crib. Yeah. And we did that for about a week or two. And then we put her in the crib, and then she just went on like normal.
So the bassinet with wheels, I think, is fucking critical. Like,
yeah.
You have to have a bassinet with wheels. Because just for that reason, you want to be able to move the bassinet around even if the baby's sleeping. Like, that is critical. And then I was able to find a bassinet that had wheels that you could also, like, deactivate the wheels and it would rock. So, like, we could wheel it to the TV room, rock it while we were watching TV, and then wheel it to where we needed to. But I think that is super critical. That's a good...
Yeah. Well, ours is a... attaches, it's an attachment that goes onto the stroller, so we just push it through the house and we go on walks. Nice. And but it didn't rock, and she doesn't really care about being, she's not a movement junkie, she doesn't care.
Yeah, but she just cares that but you're able to move it around. That's the thing, you're able to move the bassinet to one room to the other while she's sleeping.
Mm-hmm.
yeah I think that's
nice.
So here's where I think, like, people go wrong. Like, if you ever get the pajamas that have the buttons, or somebody gives you pajamas with buttons for the kids, they fucking hate you. Like,
that is false.
No? Oh, it is. You like the buttons? You like the button? Do you like the snaps?
I found, okay, so since she's a girl and an only child, she has a lot of, I like to buy her clothes.
Yes.
So I have both snaps and zippers. Because a friend told me, she said, don't get anything with the snaps because that's why babies get shaken, because no one wants to button up a baby and unbutton a baby in the middle of the night. So I was all scared, like, oh my gosh, this baby's going to be screaming.
That's a fucking extreme. That's a little bit of an extreme to go, like, that's why babies get shaken. I was more like, it's just a pain in the ass. I wasn't like, shake your baby.
That's what my friend said.
You need new friends.
This is going to be so rough. I'm scared. And then, it really wasn't a big deal. And the ones with the buttons, the snaps fit better, because if it's too small or too big, the zipper like puckers in weird spaces, and the snaps, they fit better. Like, they are kind of a pain, but like, she's a really good sleeper. She's been sleeping through the night for 2 months straight.
As long as you can get this, as long as you start the snaps on the right snap, it's no big deal. The problem is, like, when you get off by one snap, that's where the snaps are a pain in the ass. I've never.
At night, just like, fuck it, leave it. She's good.
She's good. Well, she got a diaper. Throw a blanket on her. She's good. She's not gonna die.
No blankets. Blankets aren't allowed.
Oh, that's right. When they're infants, yeah, you can't do the blankets. So I think.
What?
Yeah, when they're infants, yeah. You can't do the blankets. Yeah.
Nothing in the crib.
Holy shit. Things have changed.
Yeah. No, fuzzy animals. Even the bumpers. The bumpers on the crib.
No bumpers.
Those are bad.
No bumpers. You can't. No swaddling. After, yeah. Like, they reach a certain weight, or they can flip over.
Yeah. You don't do co-sleeping.
No.
I have a
friend. I like to sleep.
I have a friend that does co-sleeping. Her daughter's like.
You'll never get rid of them.
She's five. Oh yeah, she'll be 18. Like, she's five.
She has her own room, yeah. And it's nice.
Yeah, I know.
She doesn't need to sleep in ours.
Still.
I've been trying to get these dogs out of our bed.
So
they're not leaving.
My friend Stella, like, their daughter, yeah, they co-sleep, and, like, she's, like, five. She's beautiful. She's wonderful. But, like, she's an only child.
But they have to sleep in bed with her every night.
Yeah, she's an only child for a reason. you're not gonna get a baby sister, baby brother if you're co-sleeping every night with your parents. Like, that's not gonna happen.
Mm-hmm.
and it's impossible to break. It is super impossible to break. We've been fortunate that I will say it was tough to get Emma to sleep through the night. That took 2 years, but only because Amy was breastfeeding, and Amy loved every minute of it. And, like, you know what? Like, and she even tells me now, she's like, I wish you wouldn't, like, try and interject with your own fucking opinion about it, because it's not like you're doing anything wrong or doing anything. Amy was a fucking trooper. She wanted to do it. She was determined. And as a guy with a penis, all you can do is, like, be a cheerleader. Like, you go team, go. and that's it. Like, I shut the fuck. I learned that I just shut the fuck up and let it happen, because that's what Amy wanted. That was the decision. Fine. I was never opposed to changing diapers or all of those things, all the fun things, but the lactating and the milk, the feeding, that was man. I think all moms deserve an award for those first years. However, if your baby's 4 months old and sleeps through the night, fuck you. Like, you're like, that's fucking shut up. Like, you're,
she's a good baby.
You don't get to be part of this conversation. My only hope is that you have another one that fucks all that up.
Can we edit this?
Yeah, huh?
Can we edit this?
Oh, Margaret, you think your kids are gonna listen? Yeah. But my only hope is, like, because honest to God, like, you're sitting there sleep deprived, and then you hear fucking parents like, oh my God, she slept through the night since she was 2 weeks old. And you're like, oh, fuck you.
Fuck you. Fuck you. You're just cool.
Just fuck you. You know what?
That's why we're not going to have another one.
Yeah.
Because this baby is a trick baby. She's too, like, she's really laid back. Yeah, she's really chill.
Don't fucking jinx it. You have another one. It's gonna be fucking James on steroids.
Uh-huh.
That's what's gonna happen. Uh-huh. And you're gonna But seriously, you hear that shit? Like, oh, she sleeps through the night. Oh, fuck you. God damn you. You know what? This is why nobody.
When I hear that, I kind of like try to reminisce. Like, were my kids like that?
I keep thinking to myself, fuck you, Karen. This is why nobody likes you. Like,
Doesn't matter.
There's your fucking Karen. God damn you, Karen. Fuck you. You know? Like, seriously, I don't even.
Yeah, I'm like.
Like, when they open with that, I'm like, just get the fuck out. I don't even want to talk to you. Like, get the fuck out.
I'm like, oh, that's nice. I go home and delete contact.
I can't convince my daughter to get fucking dressed. Right? You're gonna come at me with that shit? Like, get the fuck out of here. You know? Like,
after a while you just get up and she comes out of the house in rain boots and a fucking tank top with some
pajamas
with a dress over.
You know what? So Amy and I were on our way to pick her up from daycare today, and we saw a kid like in his dad, and the kid was riding his bike in his pajamas. And Amy and I were so excited, like, look, there's another one. They let him out of their pajamas and riding their bike. I'm like, you know what? Fuck yeah. Like, you wanna ride in pajamas? Fuck it. I don't give a fuck. Go. Go in your pajamas. I don't give a shit. Do it. Now's the time, right? You do it now. You do it when you're my age. You get arrested.
Oh, my God. You're out in a onesie riding a bike.
Sir. Little snaps on the butt.
Christmas onesie. This doesn't seem right.
Yeah, no. Not at all. So Carrie, what can you tell us about being a parent of a 4 month old? What are your biggest struggles? What are the things that you're worried about now?
I'm worried about COVID with, you know, what effects it has on babies.
Yeah.
You know, because they say, you know, what the long term effects are. And I'm worried that. I guess I just want to like make sure that she's going to grow up and be just a nice person. Those are my worries too.
What about like, so have you heard the whole, like, have you started to notice how they treat female babies different than male babies? Have you gotten that phase yet?
No.
So what I found, and this may be different for everybody, what I found was like when a girl baby is being kind of like demanding, they're like, oh, well, she's just bossy. She's very bossy. But when
she wants attention.
She wants attention, yeah. But when it's a boy baby, it's more like, oh, he just knows what he wants. He's very determined. But like the vernacular from an infant, it's already very different. And then they're like, oh, well, she's just sassy. And there's like there's all these like gender specific acronyms or adjectives that they assign babies. And you're like, you know what? Like, I'm about to teach my daughter how to play golf. She already knows how to play chess. Like, the gender things. And you know what else? Emma does, she does ballet too. And she loves ballet. She loves all those things. But like, you get into the whole, Does she like pink or does she like blue? And it's like, well, fucking Amy's favorite color is blue. So guess what? Emma likes blue. Like, she doesn't like, she does like a lot of pink shit. She likes a lot of pink shit. She likes a lot of blue shit.
That's one thing that I've noticed is that everything is pink. So I want her to wear, like, she has blue eyes. So she looks really good in blues and mints and navies.
But
everything is pink.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I'm like, she looks cute in pink, but maybe it's not her color.
Yeah. Maybe she can make up her own mind. I don't know. Maybe she can be an individual. Yeah. How about that for a change? Yeah, that's the kind of stuff you'll start to notice. And you're like, oh, everything. Well,
and I did get her, I registered and got her these, like, they're kind of like the Little Feminist series. They're like they're books about influential women in history.
Good for you.
And, oh, cool.
Fuck
and
yeah.
So I got her a bunch of those, and my sister got her some, and we thought they were so cool because, you know, they have, they have Coco Chanel, they have all kinds of different women that have done something influential, you know.
Fucking awesome.
And so, she has like Frida's part of the series and all that stuff.
Oh, wow.
So,
that's so cool.
And my parents and my mother-in-law saw the books and they were like, oh, these are terrible. The drawings are creepy. And I'm like, you know, she's going to just have to think like a feminist. Even though I'm not a feminist and you're not a feminist, she has to.
Yeah. Yeah. It's amazing how little shit's changed. Because
there's a lot of creepy men out there.
Yeah.
So you can't just like raise her to just think that's okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's unfortunate. And it's like, and even Amy corrects me because there's a lot of times I'll make stupid jokes. And it's like, one of my favorite ones is like, you know, like, oh, I need to speak to the manager. And like a female comes up. And then I said manager, not whoa manager. You know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
James and I have these conversations. He'll make a comment and I'll say, not in front of your daughter. Even before she was born, I said, you should really stop saying that because you're going to have a daughter.
Yeah. Yeah. And you need to keep doing that because we'll forget. And like, and in James's defense, and also don't fucking bite our head off, but like in James's defense, like a lot of the times, most of the time we're trying to make people laugh. Like we crave it. Men crave attention too. And we want to make people laugh. And by doing that, and it's hard for me to explain this to Amy too, because like, you know what? Funny isn't saying like fucking Popeye jokes over and over again. Like that's not fun. Like you have to push envelopes. Like you have to be daring and you have to take risks and challenge. And that's what makes people laugh. And the fact that like, and this is where I was like, when Emma like pushes Amy's buttons, and I can't get mad at that because I'm like, she's doing it because she wants to make you happy. Like she's trying to make you laugh because when you laugh, it makes you happy. And her making you happy makes her happy. That's a good thing. Like that is the most benevolent thing that you can teach your daughter ever, is that if she does something, she goes out of her way to make you happy. For whatever reason, you're feeling down, you're feeling depressed, you're just whatever the thing is, if she just wants to bring a smile to your face, like that is super, super important. And like you want to really enforce that. If it's not a good joke, if the timing is bad, if the content's not the best, like you can't really like knock her too much for like that, those little specifics. The point is she's trying to make you laugh. And that's that's coming from a really good place. In my book, that's coming from a really good place because you know, people can go through the whole life like, fuck you, I don't give a fuck. Feed me. I don't care. I want to play with my Legos. Fuck you. But she's coming out and saying, she's doing something to try and get you to laugh, trying to get you to perkle up and like you get the endorphins going. She knows that makes you feel good and she wants to make you feel good. Like that's coming from a genuinely good place. Like seriously, seriously try and support that. At the same time, God damn it, fucking timing, work on your timing. Like there's some shit that's like, at the same time, like, God damn it, just get your fucking clothes on. We gotta go. I just want you to get dressed. So like, you don't want to, and that's the thing too. Also like, and I've told countless people this, having a daughter, you're like, and I've even told people very high influential in my company. I'm like, you know, you struggle because you're like, I have a daughter and I recognize the challenges that she's going to have growing up over the next 50 years in the workforce and all that. Like I realize all that. And I don't want to stifle her creativity. I want her to be creative as fuck. I want her to be thinking outside of the box. I want her to think about jokes. I want her to think about things that make her laugh. I want her to think about things that make her cry, happy. I want her to have all of these emotions and all these things. And I want her to have her, I want her to have the freedom to be able to express all of those things. And I don't want to stifle. I don't want a guy. I don't want a man to stifle any of those because I'm uncomfortable or because... But God damn it, I just want her to get fucking dressed so we can get to daycare. Like, I want all of those things. But fucking A, can she just get dressed so we can get the fuck to daycare? You know? And that's where I struggle as a male parent. Like, I want all these things, and I want her to go to the moon. I want her to be present. Like, I want all those things. But fucking A right now, I want her to get her panties on and get dressed. Put your goddamn clothes on and get fucking dressed. And it's a super struggle because you're like, you look at that individuality and you look at that determination, like, oh, she's so strong and she's so determined. Daddy, I'm
gonna look at her. She's not listening to daddy. Oh, look at her.
And it's good. That's good because you don't want some other dude, like boyfriend, like, oh, well, babe, you know, if I don't do this, like, you don't want somebody rolling over. You want her to be a fucking individual and like strong. But fucking A, I just wanted to get dressed so we can go and get out of the fucking house. And that's a struggle. That's my struggle. For whatever it's worth.
She's such a good girl, though.
No, she's not. Are you kidding? You know what I was teaching her today? Was it,
what?
If she pulls daddy's fingers, that I would flatulate.
You were teaching her that?
You were teaching her that?
Yeah.
That's so not surprising.
So she kept pulling all my fingers. And like, well, if you pull one finger, I burp, and if you pull another finger, I flatulate, and then if you pull my whole hand, I'll poop myself. And she kept pulling my whole hand.
Yeah, she thought, let me see this.
Yeah, you know what? Why not? Why not?
Yeah.
If she was a boy, it wouldn't be any different. Like it. So you know what? Why not? Mm-hmm. And she goes to ballet. She does all those things and ballet. So how about that? How about
you know the funniest things about kids is like. When you talk about poop or fart, like that's the funniest thing ever to them.
It is.
I'm just like, what the hell?
It's and if it's a boy, it still is. I guarantee
it still is for James.
It is. It is.
Amy, nothing changes.
No. Amy and Emma have this wonderful routine where after bed we read. We take a bath at night. Then Amy reads a couple of books to Emma, or if Amy's not at 10, I'll read. So Emma always gets books at night, and then Amy will sing her a lullaby and like pat her back while she falls asleep, which I think is super sweet. Also, it's a very tall order to maintain. But nonetheless, that's what Amy does. Last week, Amy came back, you know, from the living room after doing that, and she goes, "So I was singing to Emma, and I was patting her back and I was rubbing her back, and she was falling asleep, and you know, I was whispering to her, and she was about to fall asleep, and I just whispered, Emma, mommy loves you, and kissed her on her forehead, and like a half a second later, Emma farts.
That's your daughter.
I'm like, you know what though? Like if I'm that relaxed and soothed and like everything just starts to relax. It happens. It just happens. Yeah. So, yeah. I don't know. It is weird. And I often think like I always knew I was gonna have a girl. And there's a lot of challenges that come with that. And I don't know. And I don't even think we've even hit the hard stuff yet. I think when she becomes a teenager and tells us to go fuck off, I think that's gonna. Oh. Yeah. Yeah. Those.
I don't think that she's gonna do that though.
Oh, she will. Amy did
all
that.
All three y'all are all close though, so I don't know.
Doesn't matter.
Maybe she'll actually just keep being a nice kid.
Well, all right. So let's put it to the test. Carrie, how did you rebel against your parents? Did you? What question? Did you ever rebel besides marrying James? Did you ever rebel?
No, I was like, my parents were like pretty strict, so they had this like I always had like a stupid curfew even. Like right after I graduated high school.
Wait,
so
your parents were strict?
What?
Your parents were strict?
Yeah.
I didn't know that. Well, so I met your parents. I thought they were really nice. I didn't think they were like the strict type.
They're nice, but since I'm the oldest, they were all strict with me. So there was, you know, like I always had a stupid, crazy curfew, and they do things like I couldn't just say, "Oh, I'm going to go spend the night at so and so's." Oh, I need to talk to so and so's parents.
Parents, yep.
So wait a minute. How old were you when you were trying to just spend the nights? Were you like in like 17, or were you like 10?
No, I was like a junior or senior in high school.
Yeah, that's a little strange. I never spent the night when I was that old. When I was in elementary, I had a friend, I moved to the United States in like 1985, and like the teachers, so first of all, when we moved to the United States, I got kicked out of about 5 elementary schools. Like my mom was trying to put me in school, and like in Mexico, I was going to private school, so she thought private schools were good. And so I got kicked out of like 5 of them. Like they were like, some of them I didn't even last a full day. They're like, no.
And transfer.
So, yeah, transfer. This kid's got public school written all over him. So yeah. I went to public school, and then it was like the teacher assigned, you know, you had to assign a friend. They're like, okay, class, this is October, and we have a new student. So his name is Leonard. And it was like, Leonard, he's French. And then they're like, who wants to be Leonard's friend? And I'm like, it's fucking Leonard, bitch. And so like I had my assignment.
Nobody raises their hand. Nobody.
So I had my my assign a friend. And so from first grade all the way till about 12th grade, he was my assign a friend. He's always my friend. And we used to spend the night at each other's houses until we were about in high school. After high school, we didn't do that shit anymore. But up until then, it was like every weekend. Hey, you want to spend the night? Hey, you want to spend the night? It was every single fucking weekend. So now, as a 17-year-old high school girl with her boobs coming in, you know, talking to boys, I'm thinking all kinds of crazy stuff. I'm like, yeah, I might be a little bit protective. I don't know. Is that not fair?
Mm. Yeah. Well, James is already protective, but I mean, yeah. But some kids, I mean, I don't know. Kids are just, everybody's different. Some kids,
yeah,
are just like actually really good kids, and they aren't trying to sneak out and trying to. They're interested in their schoolwork and, you know, their grades and sports or whatever. Mm-hmm. And other kids are.
So what were you interested in? Out. What were you interested in?
I wasn't really very interested in school. Well, but like I wasn't a bad kid. But like, you know, it's like, so you go and you spend the night at a friend's house, and then you guys like go to a party together, and then.
What kind of party? So hang on. What kind of party in high school? Like a high school party? What was that like?
I don't know. I didn't ever get to go.
Huh?
I didn't ever get to go.
Toga. Toga. So if you did go, or if you missed it, what were they like? Was it drinking? Was there alcohol?
Yeah.
Well, so that's
why my parents are so strict.
So they were right. So like,
but I wasn't a bad kid though.
I did 5 shots. So all right. So fair enough. So I never did that in high school, even though we would often go to Mexico. So I lived on the border. So high school for me, it's like. We would all like, hey, like we play. We get to my friend Jacob's house and we play basketball and his parents order pizzas. On Saturday, we go play football and then we go swimming at my house. And then, like, if we had a little extra time and a couple of us had cars, we would drive across the border and we go to Mexico. And so that was like the extent of it. We never used to go clubbing in Mexico, but growing up in high school in McAllen. People would go clubbing in Mexico. Like high school kids would go to all the clubs in Mexico. So everybody in high school was already used to going to a club. They already knew how to get like the ID checked and all that. You walk in the club, they already knew all the drinks to order. It's like, these motherfuckers, they knew like what all the drinks were. And they would order the drinks because in Mexico, like, well, they didn't card. And if they did, it was 18 and up. So like, and even though we were all like 16 and 17, still, people would go to Mexico all the time. So like, in our case, it was like the extreme. It's like my parents were like, all right, you're going to be hanging out in the pool, swimming, barbecuing. You might break into the bar. So what? At least you're at the house. You're not like going to Mexico. Everybody else's kids are like, well, yeah, they're going to Mexico and, you know, they got in trouble or whatever. So it was definitely different. But I was also not a female. And I would imagine if I'm the parent, especially of two girls like you, Carrie, I would be very strict as far as like what somebody can and can't do.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, tell James to mind his fucking business.
Lenny said to mind your fucking business.
Where'd you put the KY, Carrie?
Just came in here just to like make a comment.
I know.
That's untrue.
As if you guys are
everybody
gonna
have... Everybody knows that we don't have sex, we're married. Yeah, I know. We have a 4-month-old baby. We haven't had sex for like a year.
So Margaret, what are some of the excuses when you were in your relationship mode? What were some of your excuses for not having sex?
Oh man.
Carrie probably knows all of them.
I can give you tips. Too tired. Shit, there's plenty, right? Like I'm sleepy, I'm too tired, well, I was the one who folded all the clothes. Like, I'm tired.
Folding clothes was, I'm too tired to have sex.
I'm sleeping. I have a meeting in the morning. Yeah.
This is the kind of shit.
I'm really tired.
And it's like, because this guy's like, it takes me like 2.5 minutes. Like, we're going to spend more time arguing about it than it's going to take to do it.
I'm on my period for the third time this month.
Oh, that's a good one. That's a good one.
So,
no one ever argues about that one.
So Amy's very upset because I know her cycle, and so like she doesn't.
You're a creep.
Yeah, so she says she does not like that at all. I'm like.
Margaret, I'd be like, I'm irregular.
No. Margaret just spit out her wine. Amy's like, oh, I'm starting to feel crampy. I'm like, well, I look at my watch. I look at the day. I'm like, well, yeah, it's about time. Like, yeah, you're right. You know, she, as long as I don't say Saved by the Bell, like, she's okay. She's like, just creeped out about it. If I say like Saved by the Bell or something in center, like, she's like, oh, you think this is all about you? Fuck you. But like, yeah, knowing your wife's cycle is not. That's, and I wonder if that's because like she knows she can't use that as an excuse.
Yeah, I'd be like, what the hell? Fuck, I'm fucked.
I took that card. Babe, I have my period. No, babe, you had your period like 8 days ago, babe. You should know. You're not having your period. Something else. You know what? Let's get you to the doctor. Let's get you to the OBGYN. Let's get some mail up all up in your business to see what's going on, to figure out what's happening. Because clearly, clearly it's not your cycle.
That's so messed up, Leonard.
What, did I know this or that like...
Yeah, I don't know. I'm like so creeped out.
Why is it a surprise that a guy knows your menstrual cycle? Why is it? It's not
because
like
it's weird and nosy. It's like, can I have one thing to myself?
But all right, so hang on. Wait, real quick, honest question: yeah. Are you guys honestly surprised when it hits?
No, because I have like a tracker for it.
I know. So are you? Yeah. So do we. It's called our penis, and it's like, how are you guys like, you're not surprised. Why do you think we would be surprised? You expect us to be, oh my God, these 4 weeks just flew by. Like, I didn't even realize it's been 4 weeks since we've had sex. Oh my God, where is the time gone? I just, oh my God, I didn't realize. Has it been 4 weeks? Oh my God, has it been 4 weeks since we had sex? It has. Oh my God, you're having cramps. Oh my God. How's it come y'all ain't laughing? All right then. Well, I'm just saying, it's not like it's a fucking secret. Like, there is a clock on the wall.
well, hey, this connection's kind of bad, and James is coming in here, and he wants to go to bed, so I'm going to have to let y'all go.
So this is super fun. Carrie, did you have a good time?
Yes.
Yeah.
Exactly. I'll need to have a drink next time. Oh. I didn't know that this was like a bring your own drink thing.
No, this is grape juice.
It's grape juice.
It's grape juice.
Did you hear James like cutting in again?
Yeah, what did he say?
Oh, he said he asked if he wanted to see the helicopter.
This is why I like talking to you, Carrie. Anyways, we'll have tell James we'll have him on.
He's terrible.
Tell James we'll have him on, and we'll talk about how we all got duped as men before we got married. Like, yeah, no, my wife likes to have sex every day. What are you talking about? It's normal.
I'll let him know.
Yeah, no blowjobs. Why would those go away? Like Omar, when Omar did his podcast, he's like, I'm like, so how often do you think you're gonna have sex after you're married? He's like, I don't know. Why would it change? Yeah, why would it change? Why? He's like, yeah, 3 or 4 times a week. Yeah, why would that change? Yeah, I'm looking at your face. Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. That's cute.
That's See, sweet. That's the thing guys don't realize. We're like, no, guys, this one is different. She's different from all of y'all's wives. She's completely different.
She's not.
Fucking James is texting me. All right, listen, we're going to cut this off. Let's hang up. Let's get done. Let's say goodbye.
Nice meeting you.
Yeah.
Nice to meet you too.
This is super fun. Carrie, good night. You look wonderful. Nice. I love your COVID makeup. Margaret, you look beautiful as always.
Thank you. Congrats on the baby.
Thank you.
All right. Well, all right, I'll let you guys go. All right, good night. Goodbye, everybody.
Night. All right, bye, y'all.
Bye, y'all. Bye.